Got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 34. Went outside and took advantage of this beautiful day earlier.
Amen.
So we got home and decided to study a little bit. I had something along the same lines of what I preached this morning, kind of like the flip side of it, but it just wasn't sticking with me. It wasn't as powerful a feeling as this morning's message was. And I began to search, began to read the Word and delve into the Word and started over in Psalms, and my Bible just flipped open to a certain scripture, and I began to read that. And then she was talking to me this morning, Stephanie was, about chasing rabbits. Now, when I read the Bible, I'm going to get on all kinds of rabbit trails. I have tried and tried and never been able to read the Bible from cover to cover because I get on so many rabbit trails, I'll get on something else, and I just gave up on trying to read all the way through. I just eventually get to all the books one day after a while, you know. But as I was reading and jumping all these little trails, this little sermon here, message come to me, and I'm going to do my best to preach it. There's a lot in it and a lot to say, but I'm just going to do the best I can.
Amen.
Lord being my helper. Psalm 34, I'm just going to read the whole psalm. I'll give you a little context here. Psalm 34, starting verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of him from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 34, and also goes along with a couple chapters later, Psalm 37. They're very close to me in kind of subject matter and everything. But I want you to notice this. I don't know if this is in your Bible or not, but some psalms have a little, a little introductory phrase there to tell where when the psalm was written and what the situation was when it was written. And in this Bible, my Bible here, it says the Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. As many times as I read this psalm, like I said this morning, open your Bible, and you can read the same thing 100 times, and something else will appear to you. And I had never noticed this before. I knew immediately what he was talking about because I remember reading this. It's interesting to see where David was in his life when he wrote a certain psalm. I believe it's Psalms somewhere over in the 50s, where it talks about, blessed be the man that God hath not imputeth his transgression, or that he's forgiven, or something like that. And that was right after he had lusted after and sinned Bathsheba. So it's interesting to see through the different places in the psalms where in David's life he was. And at this point, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to see where David here does exactly what this psalm says in the very beginning, where he changed his behavior before Abimelech, and who drove him away, and he departed. 1 Samuel 21. Now, I want you to notice, David said here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you think about that, do I praise the Lord at all times? Do I get upset? Do I get grumpy? Do I get, backwards on the Lord? Or can I praise the Lord in everything? Let's see what David did. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to go down here to verse 10. Now, there's a lot of backstory to some of this. To narrow it down, let me just tell you, since chapter 18, David has been fleeing from Saul the king for his very life. Saul threatened to kill David several times, many different times. And from 18, he has been running from Saul. He had just become from the priest's house, the priest's city of Nob, and he had gotten some of the shoe bread from the priest of Ahimelech, and he had also gotten the sword that he slain Goliath with. And that's where we find ourselves now. He was just leaving there. He had some men with him, and he said, and David arose, in verse 10, and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, I believe this is the Ahimelech he's referring to in Psalm 34, we just read it. Ahimelech means son of Melech. Now, Achish may have had a dad named Melech, I'm not sure. But it lines up the actions that were taken. And we'll see that here in a minute. Remember, it said he changed his countenance, he changed his appearance. Now let's read on, verse 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is it not this, David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior, there it is, before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come unto my house? And in the very next verse it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. As we read in Psalm 34, I'll read it again real quick. The Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. We see that. He changed his behavior. Achish, or Ahimelech, said, I don't have need of this madman. Basically, drove him away. And in the very next verse, in chapter 22, it said, David departed. He went away. He departed. Now, this is the psalm that David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. As we read from chapter 18 onward, like I said, from chapter 18 until the very end of the book, David is basically being hunted down by King Saul. And he goes from place to place, running to and fro, trying to escape Saul, the king, from killing him because he was basically jealous. That's where the jealousy started. As soon as David killed Goliath and came back into the city, and the people began to proclaim that Saul, yes, he's killed a few people, maybe a thousand or two, but David here, he slew ten thousands of thousands and began to attribute David of a bigger stature than the king himself. And because of that, Saul grew jealous and pursued David from that day forward. Amen. There was even a time where he threw a spear at David and it lunged into the wall. David escaped by that hand. And we find later on, as we go through this, he's running from Saul. He runs from Saul. He ends up in a cave in Adullam that we talked about and continues onward. And we find out that he goes from city to city, trying to escape the wrath of Saul. Saul is trying to pursue him all these days, and I don't know exactly how long of a time span it was, but he was doing his best to run from the Lord. Now, why was David afraid of Achish in the first place? Well, I'll tell you why. It said that Achish was the king of Gath. In verse 10 of 1 Samuel 21. Gath is a city that Goliath came from of the Philistines. You've heard the term Goliath of Gath. He was from the Philistines. And it was the Philistines that the Israelites were fighting when Goliath was their champion trying to go against Israel. And he was afraid because they had just brought up the very subject, those people there had just said, isn't this the same David that they had said and sung about him, saying that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000? They were referring to when David slew Goliath, one of the Philistines. He was in the country of the enemy. David was in the country of the Philistines, and their king was before him, and his fear overcame him, and he began to feign himself to look as if he was mad, so that they wouldn't realize this was the same man. Or if he was, he was too out of it to be held responsible. As we go on further, we find out, amen, that he continues his way through different cities. He finds himself in another cave, I believe it was in Gedi. He finds himself in another cave, and that's when Saul appears to him on his journey trying to pursue David. He ends up going to Saul, to the cave, the same cave he's in, and he ends up spending the night there. And we find that David, when he could have slain Saul, oh, many times David had said, it's not good to touch the Lord's anointed. It's not good that I would smite the Lord's anointed, the king, because Saul was still anointed king of Israel at this point. And David knew it was a bad thing to do the prophets or his anointed any harm. He found himself in the same cave. Saul ended up coming in, and instead of killing him, he took a bit of his garment there. He sliced it off, amen, to prove that he was not going to do any harm to Saul, and that Saul, he was trying to get Saul to leave him alone and to see reason that he was not there to usurp or kill Saul. And we see that as time goes by, he comes out of the cave. Saul is about to continue his pursuit of David. And David comes out of the cave right after him. And Saul realizes that David was there the whole time. He could have killed me, but he didn't. And he said, Saul, I've got your garment here. And not so many words, but paraphrasing a little bit. I've got your garment. I could have done you harm. I could have killed you, but it's not right to kill and to smite the Lord's anointed. And that kind of appeased Saul for a little bit, but it wasn't long before he began to pursue David again, found himself in another city, and everywhere he went, the people of the cities, amen, they would give him over. They would tell, there would be somebody running to Saul and say, hey, guess what? David's over here in this city. And David would inquire of the Lord. He would ask, Lord, do I need to stay in this city, or are they going to give me up to Saul? And several times God had said, well, they're going to give you up. It's time to move on. And we find David continually running for his life. This is the same man that had said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. I want you to notice something. David also wrote in the Psalm, the 34 that we read, I've got several of them highlighted, some of my favorite verses, where it said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. David knew when he was running from Saul that God's angels had to be around him, had to be protecting him, or he would not have survived, amen, an attempt on his life from the king and all his army. He said, the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. David could rely and he could attest to the fact that he had been on the run and that he had been in danger many times. His life had been in danger, but God had cried unto the Lord and God delivered him from all his troubles. Amen. I'm glad that God still delivers today from all our troubles. When I began to think about this, amen, when I was reading what the verse that fell open to my in my Bible when I started today to think about the message was a few hundred chapters over. Where it's in Psalms 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, and forget not all of His benefits. And He begins to rail off these benefits about how He heals our diseases. Amen. He doesn't consider our sin against us. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I begin to think in my mind, the question that came up in my mind was, can I bless the Lord at all times? Can I bless Him on the mountain? Yes, it's easy to bless the Lord on the mountain. There's a reason I sung some of them songs tonight. Because God, it's easy to praise the Lord on the mountain. Amen. It's in the valley where you have the hard times. It's in the valley where it's hard, amen, to look up to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I thank you. I can't pay my bills this month, but I thank you. I'm going through a trial or a valley, but I thank you. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to praise the Lord. That's what I'm trying to get at. Can I praise the Lord in the bad times? just as well as I can the good times. I begin to look at David here, about what he's going through, about how he's in fear of his very life. He is being pursued like a dog. Amen. He even comes out to tell Saul. He said, "You've been trying to pursue me like I'm some kind of dog here. Really, all you're after is a little old flea. I'm not going to do you any harm. I'm not here to do you any harm." And finally, we find David. He ends up at the very place we just read, over at Achish's place again. In 1 Samuel, if you flip over a few pages, chapter 27. Finally, they had made peace. Apparently, Saul had made peace with David right after he had come out of that cave I just told you about. And Saul agreed that he wouldn't pursue David anymore. But David, not being ignorant, he had heard this spiel before. He knew better. Chapter 27 of 1 Samuel says, "David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. One day he's going to kill me. I've got to find a way out of this mess. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." He ends up going back to the Philistines, where he was afraid to go in the first place. Why does he do that? Amen. Because there will be a time in your life, amen, where it gets so bad, where it gets so low, amen, that you'd rather go to the enemy and be slain as to be slain by the things that are haunting you in your past. To be slain by the things, amen, that just will not leave you alone. Sometimes you got to get down to your lowest. Be willing to do anything to get over. The king didn't bother him anymore. The Philistines didn't bother him anymore. He wasn't afraid of them. He was ready, amen, to make an end of it. I wonder if he went there, amen, knowing that they may slay him and the Philistines. He probably, there's another scripture in the Bible. I'm trying to think. I think it's in Kings, where there's some lepers sitting outside the gates of the Syrian camp. And they're starving. And they say, you know what, whether we go, whether we stay here and starve, or we go back into the camp and we try to see if they'll feed us, we're going to die either way. It's better for us to just try something. To try something new. And they found out, as they went to this city, it was gone. God had got them all out of there. So they had plenty enough to eat. They had overabundance enough to eat. And we find that David got to this point in his life. You know, I'm going to be killed by Saul. I may be killed by the Philistines, but at least the Philistines aren't chasing me. I'm going to go over there and see what happens. And let the lot be cast in God's lap, and he's got the consequences for it. We find in chapter 27, he said, "Let's go to speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. Saul shall I escape out of his hands." He's got a plan here. It says in verse 2, "And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him into Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath." Now I said Abimelech is the son of Malek. This may be why he referred to that, because he had a dad named Maok. It's very similar. Some of the kind of people that David had with him, it said he had 600 men with him. At this point, at one point David was alone. He left alone. And he had some people that decided to come with him. After he had left the city of Nob, I believe it was, in chapter 22, a little few verses down, we find that everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was disoriented or discontented gathered themselves into David. And David became a captain over him. So he had a bunch of misfits going with him. I find that very... I mean, here's a man who becomes king and has warriors of plenty underneath him, but he started with just a few misfits. God used that. Now he's got 600 men. Continue reading. In verse 4, it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. David said to Achish, "If I now find grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" Give me just something outside. I don't care if it's a cabin on the hill, as the old song says. I just want to be at peace. Give me some place outside the city. I'm not worthy to be in your royalty. And Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Over a year, David dwelt in the land of the enemies. I remember David was also the one that wrote Psalm 23, where he says, "Thou preparest a table before me, before the presence of my enemies." As he was in the midst of his enemies, amen, they didn't bother him. They didn't do anything, do him no harm. His son Solomon even wrote in Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." David's ways pleased the Lord, and he was at peace in the land of the enemy. David's men went up, and it talks about David more. I won't go into depth of it. You can read it for yourself. Later on, we find that David, amen, this Ziklag, this country that he was in, one day they went back to Ziklag, and they found that it had been spoiled, and it had been burnt. The whole city had been burnt to the ground, the wives that he had, and all the different things, the spoil, the people, I believe it was the Amalekites, took all of that away, and he was left with nothing. And he chased after them and said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there's times that we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I mean, we may feel alone, we may feel like we've lost everything. But David was there before. He'd been there, and he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he went after them. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Go, because you'll without fail recover all." When God's on your side, amen, you'll recover all. I've been talking about David here, but I'm talking about, I've been thinking about Job. We talked about Job this morning in the trivia. Amen. And Job, amen, he had lost everything he cared about, everything that he had worked so hard for in his life. He was following the Lord. And all of a sudden, the devil took it all away from him. His daughters, his sons, his in-laws, his land, his house, his sheep. Every time he turned around, all he heard was bad news. Could Job praise God in the valley? Yes, he could. He had a bunch of so-called friends that tried to tell him he had sinned and he'd done something against God when that wasn't really the issue at all. God was trying to test him and show the devil, amen, that he had made a perfect and upright man and who followed the Lord. And it comes to finally where Job had to say, and I believe it's chapter 13 of Job, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." We've got to come to the point that even if God kills us, even if God takes us out of this world, we're going to trust him. Sure. And him alone. We're not going to look at the circumstances around us. We're not going to worry about terrorists. We're not going to worry about school shootings. We can pray for those things. Amen. But it doesn't do a Christian any good to sit at home and wring their hands and think, "Oh Lord, when's this going to come to my doorstep?" Instead of being worried all the time, amen, why don't you pray to the Lord and ask Him to give you peace in the situation? He can take care of it. Sure, we can take care of it. We was outside today. We went to drive through town, and there was some protesters on the courthouse. They've got every right to protest. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know. There was three different names or three different children or something. I don't know if somebody had been killed and they was demanding justice for these people. I don't know. Most people let that consume them until they're bitter and they're hateful and they don't have anything to be thankful for. They don't have anything to live for. We don't need to be like that. We need to trust the Lord. I believe it's Psalm 34. We just got done reading the very last verse. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." Job was not left desolate. He lost everything he had. But at the very end, God gave him back what he had twice over. Amen. He had twice everything he had. And he had thousands of cattle, thousands of animals, houses, thousands of acres of land. And God gave him double for his trouble. I believe it was Jesus that said, "There's no man that forsaken houses, lands, family, wives, for my sake, that shall not get it back now in this life and in the life to come." Amen. We count everything as done. Paul said, "I count it all as done that I might win Christ." We praise God in the good times. We need to learn to praise God in the bad times, in the valleys. That's what helps us to grow closer to Him. Amen. There's a song that I was trying to find a while ago, couldn't find it, but it came to my mind where it said, "He is the lily of the valley." I'm glad that when we're in the valley, there's still a pretty lily there to encourage us along the way and be a reminder to us that God is still watching out for us. Even when David was at his lowest, he was being pursued many days after King Saul. He still believed in the Lord. Many times you'll see him inquiring of the Lord, asking the Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? He had the right attitude about it. When we get in the valley, when we get distressed, when we get depressed, we need to stay in touch with the Lord. And he can lead us to where we need to be. So that's what the Lord has given me. Amen. There's another place that I could take you to that I had marked here, but I'll just tell you, we talked about Joseph this morning. Joseph, oh man, he was treated like a dog. We know the story over in Genesis chapter 37. We hear about Joseph and how he was sold into slavery, how he was made to look like he had died, how the Midianites took him in, over to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. And Potiphar, he was accused of being with Potiphar's wife. He ends up in the jail and so on and so forth. But, amen, if it had not been for Joseph, God's promise to Israel could not have been fulfilled. Because Joseph was the one that saved the whole nation and the nation of Israel. And you know what Joseph said? During all this, amen, Joseph found favor with God and man. We know about that. But it also said, you meant to do it unto me for evil, but God meant it for good. God works all things out. We know that all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If it had not been for Joseph, Israel had not been saved. The New Testament Joseph is Jesus. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. If it had not been for Jesus coming and doing what he did, then rejecting him, and he dying on the cross for the sins of the whole world, not just the Jews, but everybody, whosoever will, and we had not been saved. We had not been redeemed if it had not been for the New Testament Joseph. But on and on through the Bible, I mean, there's so much good stuff in there that you would spend your whole life and you couldn't get through it all. But I encourage you, the church, you know, when I leave here today, God will still be here. God will still be going home with each and every one of you. And there'll be good times and there'll be bad times. But God is God of the valley and he's God of the mountain. He's the same God. Your bad day is not going to affect God. He'll still be God. He won't change his mind. He won't decide to say that, well, I don't love him no more. He just don't pay me no attention. He's crying and complaining. Oh, he got mad at the Israelites because all they did was whine and complain. But he loved them, and he led them all the way through. As we learned in trivia today, the soles of their feet, of their shoes, didn't even wear out as they was in 40 years. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be nice to have a pair of shoes today that lasted for 40 years?
Right.
They don't make them like God can make them. God can get you through whatever you're going through. You best believe it. I'll ask Stephanie to come back and sing the song. If you got a need here, I'm not going to pull your arm, twist your arm, come to the altar. That's between you and the Lord. God can't get you here. It ain't going to do me no good to try. But that's between you and the Lord. If she sings, everybody stand that would.